Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Good morning, Metroplex. Some of us have made it to the hump day edition of Sean and RJ. Oh, hump day.
Hump day?
Pepe, you want to say hump day?
Hump day.
Bobby?
Bobby, turn on your mic.
Bobby.
Peyton, get his mic right.
Sorry, that's my bad.
Come on, man. You've been here long enough.
Oh. Robert?
Out there.
Oh, no.
Week two. As the great Jay Ochoa said, it is week two.
Lord. It is week two.
So there's Bobby.
Yeah.
Probably staying up late talking with his best friend, ChatGPT.
Probably was.
Had a long conversation deep into the night. And he sent us the text message that he has already overslept.
Slept through the alarm.
Yep.
Slept through.
Yeah.
It happens. Some to the best of us, but...
Never happens to me.
Nope, never.
Can't remember the last time Pepe and I have been late. Can't remember it. Usually this is reserved for a Friday firehouse tour.
Yeah.
So at least he's not late as we head to Burleson.
Burleson this weekend. Yes, on Friday we will be in Burleson at the firehouse. One of the firehouse... I'll get the address on that one. But we'll be in Burleson for... Next stop of the firehouse tour.
So bust Bobby's balls, Pepe. You have the hierarchy over him. Yes. When he wants to harass you or mess with you today, there it is. He's late for the first time in a while, but not the first time ever. Or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth.
Yeah. There you go.
You know what? It's better off because I like having...
By the way, it's at firehouse number 1 in Burleson, 828 Southwest Allsbury.
This Friday, a brand new giveaway. We're going to feed you as well. Perfect weather. It should be out in the morning, so we'll start fresh and crisp at 6 o'clock. Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 with all the firefighters in Burleson. How did everyone divide up their night between the World Series rematch in Arizona on this radio station versus the second presidential debate?
The second first.
Yes.
I watched the debate. I watched the debate. I don't know why, but I watched the debate. I'm dying to see, like, how many people watch these, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think a lot.
I think a lot too, absolutely. But like, you know, like, do undecided voters really watch these and make their decisions off of the debates, or do they have their decisions made going into this? Is there such a thing as an undecided voter this late in the game? So yeah, I absolutely was tuned in on this one.
An estimated 51 million watched the first one.
That's high. That's a lot. That is a lot. And I imagine this one was right up there with that. Maybe okay. More.
More, less, or the same? What do you think?
My guess is the same.
Okay.
My guess would be the same.
I'm going to guess a little bit more.
It's possible. There was the biggest thing that people were talking about going into this was like they needed to know more about her. They don't really know much. I mean, you knew Biden. Biden's been around for a million years.
Yeah.
Trump's been around for a million years. Nobody knew anything about her. So that was one of the big talking points going into this.
Pepe, how did you divide things?
I went debate 100% of the
you
time.
You did? Yep. Wow.
I was upset that it was starting at 8 o'clock, though. These things, you know, no respect to morning drive radio,
none.
Man. 8 o'clock start time, but I was all debate from start to finish.
Good morning, Bobby.
Hi.
What's up?
Not a lot.
What's wrong?
I don't like oversleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither do we.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So stay up late.
No, the first alarm went off. I turned it off. I was like, okay, second alarm coming. And then the second alarm, I guess, I just slept right through.
Look at him now. He's sulking at himself.
Coming
here busting balls, and now he can't say jack squat.
No, you can say whatever you want.
No. I know I can say. You can't say. You can't say jack squat.
We can say
whatever we want. You can't say anything.
Yeah, you guys should work at the other station saying whatever you want.
Well, rest in peace there. All right. What were the takeaways then? I like the both of you. Watch the debate.
The debate.
You came in here and just looked at me and laughed. Today.
I just laughed. I mean, you this laughed. Is it's we.
You want to just run down the list of things that I wrote down, and then you can kind of
okay, let's go.
Where you
yeah,
want.
Let's go.
just kind of pick and choose.
Yeah,
Bob, how did you divide things up? By the way,
I didn't watch a second of the debate other than what was being tweeted because it was. I have the debate is for, as I told somebody last night, the debate is for people who either don't know what they're don't know who they're voting for, or they want to sit there and watch the train wreck. And both of those were not me.
Oh.
Oh, I love it. I love okay. a train wreck.
Mr. Above It All over here.
No, not above it all.
Yeah, you are. You're clearly, like, you know, you just, you care more about, you know, America than we do. We want yeah. to see a train wreck.
I love a good train wreck. 2016 and 2020 to me. Oh, the bickering. Oh, it was so great.
You ever seen like a really uncomfortable scene in a movie and you're like, this is so uncomfortable. I just can't watch it. That's how it felt.
So the first thing I wrote down was, oh my God, this is going to be moderated. Amanda and I always talk about David Muir. Like, well,
oh, really? Yeah. I've heard of him. I've seen his face,
yeah.
and I've heard the name, and I didn't know the two were the same.
Because he's always like dead. I'm like, this is the SNL character. He's always yeah. dead. I've never seen the man smile. Never, I'm like, how young is he? You know, like, he just looks like he's, you know, molded to be the next, you know, primetime anchor. How young is this cat? Why doesn't he ever smile? Everything is just so deadly serious, no matter if it's a good or bad story.
50. Wow, he looks great for 50.
He's 50?
He looks fantastic
so
for 50.
David Muir, a moderator.
Only 5'11", looks taller.
He's only 5'11"?
Yeah, he looks 6'5".
Yes. 3-on-1, I wrote that down, having to do with the moderators. Hashtag rigged, that is trending this morning, with a lot of people feeling like it was three Democrats versus one Trump up there. She made Trump shake her hand.
She did.
She went.
Yes, she did.
Right
Great move by
over,
her.
She went Fantastic. Right on over to her side, yep. and he was like, "No, no, no, no! Oh, damn it, I have to do this."
Yeah, it was because I don't remember. I think they said that the last time these candidates shook hands was in 2016. Like Trump and Biden did not shake hands.
Oh,
in 2020
really?
At all? Well, it was COVID.
That's right? sad.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know,
they, it was crazy.
Go out there and shake hands.
Yeah, go out there and shake hands. But they didn't do that in 2020. They did in 2016. With Hillary and then they did yesterday. It was a great move by her, by making sure that she went over there. 3-on-1. I mean, it's gonna be 3-on-1 if it's on Fox News. All moderators have a bias. They can say they're unbiased. They all have a bias. Who's the guy? Who's the dude? The Republican dude on CNN. The only one.
Two white guys.
Yeah, the two
bald one or
no,
the
other
one? Yeah, the other one. Scott something.
Yeah, yeah. He said it was, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter if the refs are bad if you don't make your shots.
That's what he said.
And that's what he said. That's what he said. That's a good way to put it.
I wrote down rallies as soon as she brought she triggered him.
Oh, did she
ever? Triggered it? God, he cares. Someone's got to get to him and be like,
it doesn't
Mr. President,
matter. It doesn't matter.
Your rallies, you want to see a Trump rally? People fall asleep and walk it out. Yeah. And
he got so mad.
That may have thrown him off for
dude.
The rest
like,
of the
it doesn't
night.
Matter.
Are you kidding me? I had the biggest, the best. I mean, it was just.
My rallies are better than anybody's rallies.
Yes.
Millions of people there waiting outside, turning them away.
And then maybe the number one topic that was trending throughout the evening, not hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your dogs, hide your cats.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
Man, people, I just was sending Amanda. I was upstairs with Ollie. She was downstairs. I was sending her all the memes. The cats, like, you know, walking a tightrope on the high wire, trying to dodge the Haitians in Ohio, apparently. All the memes were out there. Pets eaten or pets taken alive was trending. And then I wrote down all his little shots. You got something on that?
So, like, that perfectly encapsulates him. Because everything has to be, like, on a larger scale than it is. Like, yeah, you know, he's like, he's a showman.
Yeah.
All right.
Little bit of an embellisher. I mean, that plays into
a little bit.
That, suckers
but,
and losers.
But that's where the fact checking stuff to me and like the 3-on-1 all that goes together, right?
Yeah.
If you embellish a little bit, you're going to get, quote unquote, fact checked on it. You know, the biggest, the best, no one this, no one that. I think CNN hates him, in my opinion. They had it like 33-1 on the scoreboard of fact checking. Yeah. So
he's a Sith. He's a Sith. All right. He speaks in absolutes. Like, that's what he is. He's a Sith Lord. Because, I think the story is they were eating ducks in the park.
Okay.
All right. The Haitians were bussed over there, and they decided to just pick up ducks, chop their head off, and eat the ducks in the park. Like, that's the real story. But, of course, that isn't a soundbite. They're eating your dogs and your cats. That's...
Well, ducks could have been a soundbite.
Ducks
could have been good.
Ducks could have been good, but it's not pets.
There's
not
orange
cats
sauce.
Dogs.
There's an influx of orange sauce everywhere.
They're eating the dogs. No,
nobody takes ownership of ducks. It's like, your cat. This is going to be your cat.
They're hanging in the windows of every business. They're drying the ducks out for Peking. Peking is going to be trending.
It's so bad. The whole... I can't stand her, but the Taylor Swift move to post a photo of her with a cat last night.
Yeah.
And her endorsement. That was like, okay, that was pretty good timing.
Then I wrote down all of his insults. He went into the bag towards her. Wake Joe up at 4 in the afternoon. Is he even in the White House? I don't know. He's always on the beach. The press doesn't know if he's alive or not. Then he said, Biden hates you. Biden
hates you.
hates her guts. I wrote down, oh, Biden was trending. People thought that she called Biden Biden. And I was like, is Bill O'Brien somehow
Obama.
Getting this? And then she hates the Arab population and the Israelis. And she
hates
them all. She loves her sorority. She's like the Clarence Hill of females. She attended her sorority party over meeting with Netanyahu. So sorority party, wake Joe up before on the beach. Biden hates her. Some of the things I wrote down that he reached in his bag for.
And then
everything that was trending for both, answer the question, and what happened to the mics being muted. I feel like in the first debate, it was more orderly.
Yes.
And then they just turned the mic. They turned the mute button off. They clicked the mics on when everyone wanted to have their rebuttal.
Yeah. And look, I love train wrecks. This was a mess. You know,
tweeted you thought this was worse than the first one. It could not be worse than the first one with Biden's meltdown.
Well, no.
That right there, those hours of television, ended him.
Oh yeah,
it literally ended.
Oh, for sure,
it ended President Biden.
I think this isn't necessarily. You're right. This isn't worse, but what's worse about it is that, like, you know, Biden was already obviously cognitively.
Yeah.
You know, so like I kind of threw that one out.
Okay. Both these two are with it.
With it. I mean,
so to speak.
So to speak.
Yeah.
It was like neither one answers what, like, nope, neither one of them has any idea what the hell they're doing about policy. They just are up there. And that's the thing now.
I think Mac Engel tweeted or wrote out, whenever anyone asks me a question about life, I have concepts. I have a plan and I have ideas. So there it is. Hey, any other takeaways that you had since you were all in on this as well?
I still have no idea what's going on in our country after watching both these things. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea the policies. Who's right? Who's wrong? Seems like everyone's lying, you know.
And I'm right. I'm always right.
It's like, I don't know, man. It's a joke, but that's why I stick to sports.
All right. Well, not last night.
Shut up and dribble.
Well, let's shut up and press. Press the buttons. 6-0 Arizona with 3 hits from your Texas Rangers. 2 of them from Wyatt Langford. He had 2 stolen bases as well. Nathan Eovaldi got rocked. The offense completely disappeared. So the Rangers are 7 back in the wild card. They do have Thursday, Friday, Saturday set up, though. Set up. And the weekend series against the Mariners, Kumar on Thursday, DeGrom officially Friday, Max Scherzer on Saturday. But last night was awful.
It was it's a bad offensive performance. The place they hit fairly decent in the postseason last year, but Wyatt Langford's OPS, Robert, is up to 699.
Well, that means it's down from like 710 last week. But he had 2 stolen bases, so that's a big positive. He's getting to second base by stealing because they didn't have any extra base hits last night.
Awesome. There you go. 877-881-1053 is the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. There was a one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb. And is Jerry Jones still cheap after paying out all the money. We'll take you inside the Star as the New Orleans Saints preparation gets going. The Hump Day Edition. Oh, Bobby still doesn't say
Hump Day
it. 0 for 2. 0 for 2. Go back to sleep.
All right.
Inside the Star, next on The Fan.
Today is a day of remembrance, but also an opportunity to thank those that serve in our military and our first responders. On behalf of all of our Turn It On, Leave It On listeners here at The Fan, you are appreciated.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yes, let's do that, announcer man. Wednesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Todd Archer says the Cowboys have reworked the contract of Terrence Steele, opening up $4.5 million in salary cap space. Add that to the cap space saved on Dak and the Lamb contracts this year, to the money that will most likely be carried over to next year. And Todd says that is $20 million plus.
Yeah, and that'll be stuff that they, like you said, if they're going to roll it over, that's going to be stuff they need just to be able to operate financially once you've paid two guys as much as you have. But this is all accounting stuff. I know whenever people see the switch get flipped, they're like, okay, is this, what move is coming? What veteran are they looking for? Probably nothing. Probably just trying to make sure that they can afford to survive.
Trayvon Diggs talking about Mike Zimmer's defense week one, quote, that was just a little sample. We got like 50 calls. We only probably ran like 3 of them. So that's Diggs talking about Zimmer. Zimmer yesterday was talking to the media, and they were asking him about Mozzie.
I think the number one thing with him, obviously he's playing a lot better. You know, there's still some areas that obviously he needs to keep improving on, but I think his confidence, you know, I've talked to him several times, and I just feel like, you know, he feels better about himself and the things that he's able to do. And, you know, typically our nose tackle isn't a superstar. He's a guy that does a bunch of dirty work. And I think he feels okay doing those things. He had a couple of really nice rushes the other day with some long arms on the center. He played the center in the running game good. So, you know, I think the more that he has success, the more confidence he'll have.
I don't love hearing that, the confidence, the C word. Like, you look at Kalen Carson out there, and it's like, all right, he thinks he's a baller.
Yeah, he got confidence.
He believes out there, and his confidence is just better. It sounds a little fragile.
It's the same question that's teetering right now on the Tristan Hill question. Like, what are you going to be? Are you going to be Tristan Hill, or are you going to actually put it together? Are you going to, you know, find some stability? And that's things that he hangs his head a lot at practice. It's gotten better, but you see him hanging his head a lot, and that can be troubling.
Defensive players, I mean, that's so much of that is about confidence. Like, it's such an instinctive, because confident guys generally are just instinctive, and then the guys who are not are more cerebral, but
he just gets in his head, it seems like. He seems like he gets in his head a lot. You don't want it to become Michael Gallup.
Highest graded linebackers from week one, according to PFF, Fred Warner, Logan Wilson 2, DeMarvion Overshown 3 with an 88.6 grade. Fred's was a 92.6.
I have no idea how Logan Wilson played, but I know Fred Warner and DeMarvion Overshown were good. So good job, PFF. You got one. Good
there
for
you.
877-881-1053
in order to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Looks like the Cowboys, this is from, I believe, from John Owning, who does nice work. Looks like the Cowboys are going to continue to assault defenses with CeeDee Lamb in the slot. 30 snaps from the slot and just 15 out wide versus Cleveland. So that was the snap count on CeeDee Lamb. We talked to Jerry Jones about him yesterday. CeeDee Lamb caught up with Kay Adams and talked about Dak getting paid. And I really liked hearing this is a smart, intelligent football comment and decision by Lamb, being cognizant of who his quarterback is going to be for his stud days.
Yeah, most def. Needed it. I didn't want to start over, and I don't want to go through the whole quarterback carousel situation. And he's the leader of this team. Like, everything goes through Dak. He has the keys to the offense. He has the keys to how we move and how we present ourselves. And the first thing you think about when you see the Cowboys is Dak Prescott, because he's the quarterback of our team. And he does a great job of, you know, keeping a great look on himself, keeping his composure, mentally being locked in, and, again, leading us to the promised land.
Was CeeDee bluffing in his negotiation? I guess the biggest thing that went viral yesterday from our interview with Jerry was at the very end when I asked him, why doesn't anyone demand a trade? Why doesn't a bridge get burned like in the NBA? And he's like, I've never seen a check not be able to wipe that frown off someone's face. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing. CeeDee, were you bluffing? And his thoughts on Jamar trying to get his money?
The ink is dry, so now you can tell me. Would you have shown up if you didn't have a deal in place week one?
No.
What does that say about Jamar? I don't even know what to make of it. I don't know what to say.
It's not really. I don't necessarily say we have the same position. I mean, like, we play the same position, but in the same position. Mm-hmm. But as for him, I feel like he's playing it right. He's doing it right. And all it's going to take is one big game from him to show his worth. And obviously week one is tough for us because we've been holding out. But once we get acclimated and bodies start getting back in the grind of things and playing football again, it's going to pop out. I have no doubt that he's going to have a great year this year.
He was totally willing to miss game checks.
So what did he mean, though, that they weren't in the same position?
I think he believes that they're in completely different positions in terms of, like, CD is into his expiring year. Jamar Chase is into his.
So, they're
going different.
Into year four.
Yeah, like, Jamar Chase still has contract time left. CD doesn't.
I get you. That makes sense.
So, he said he's saying he would have missed week one. Mm-hmm. He would not have played.
He wouldn't. No, and that's. I talked to people after he signed, and they were like, yeah, the expectation within the Cowboys was if they didn't get it done, he was not going to show up. Like, the Cowboys were expecting that.
Do you talk to Micah about him being next up and getting his money?
Is it weird with Micah now? Like, what is that like? Do you just not talk about it at all?
Nah, we be talking about it.
Really?
Yeah, we talk about
it. What is he saying?
It's all jokes. It's all jokes until it's not. You know what I'm saying? So for us, it's just keeping the band together, to be honest. It's all keeping us all together. And, I mean, that's what happens when you draft well. it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait for him to get his bag well deserved. And but for us this year, we got to finish out the season. We got to play together. I want to be in New Orleans,
and that leads us into the question. That's what happens when you draft well. They've paid two out of the three top market money, the biggest contract in NFL history. Can we still call Jerry Jones frugal and cheap?
Well, in my opinion, he's never been frugal and cheap with players, right? He has a philosophy, signing his own versus signing others. That's just their philosophy. I don't think you ever could say he's frugal and cheap. He's indecisive. That much is evident, right? He's indecisive about. He made it sound yesterday that he was still evaluating Dak. I don't care how they want to spin it. That's how I took it. He is absolutely frugal and cheap, though, to me, when it comes to that's not the reason, but that is one reason why they don't have a GM. He doesn't want to pay it. And then the coaching thing. If Sean Payton, if they didn't have to give up any, if Mike McCarthy was in the end of his contract, and
that really bothers me if that's true.
If Mike was at the end of his contract and he didn't have another year, because Jerry's not going to pay you to sit on a beach. He's not going to do that. But let's just say that Sean Payton gets fired this offseason and Mike McCarthy's contract is expired. And Sean Payton says, it's going to cost you $18 million. Or Bill Belichick, what was Bill getting, $20 million from the Patriots? He's not paying that. I do not. I mean, he is going to pay a middling college salary for a player.
I don't know. He might, if it's Belichick or Payton or something like that and he was free, he might. But it's not like a thing where he's going to consistently want a competitive. He might pay something absurd to get one of those two. But it has to be somebody like one of those two.
One of them was just available.
No, I know. And I think
he wasn't going to pay Mike to sit on a beach.
That's the bigger thing. It's like, well, it's not $18 million to Bill Belichick. It's $23 million because it's $18 to Bill and it's $5 to Mike. And I'm not doing that.
But he did pay these contracts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Has reset the market with a bunch of different positions over the last few years. The thing is, and I know this is a thought that a lot of people have, is that when they say, like, it's really difficult for anybody to be cheap when they have the salary floor and the salary cap in terms of, like, the money gets allocated and everybody's kind of in the same sort of way. But it does matter in terms of how are you dragged kicking and screaming to doing it. And for something that ultimately it's like, well, you paid exactly what everybody on these last two deals, you paid exactly what everybody projected you were going to pay. So why did it take so long? And what was that? What is the big reservation? It's you wouldn't believe the check I would write. Well, it sounds like, you know, you don't want to pay that check very often.
The National Football League is reviewing the Deshaun Watson complaint that we covered 24 hours ago. Another woman has come out with allegations of sexual assault in a massage type situation, or Deshaun allegedly turned a date into a massage type situation. But for now, he is still going to be available to play, not being put on any exempt list, but the league is going to investigate. Latest on Tyreek, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, calling for the police officers to be fired. Not a surprise. And the police department in Miami putting out an interesting tweet.
Yeah, they did. They posted a tweet with a pic about speeding. And they're getting a little roasted. And then the tweet is, it's got a very Fast and the Furious kind of look with it. Same font, same exact font. And the tweet says, speeding is more than just breaking the law. The consequences are a greater potential loss of vehicle control, increased stopping distance, increased degree of crash severity. For more info, yada, yada, yada. And then it's got a graphic. And again, it is the Fast and the Furious like font. Going fast puts lives on the line. Speeding catches up with you. And people are like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Like, this is, like,
and
clearly.
And the speeding of Tyreek was apparently eyeballed.
Yeah, it was eyeballed. It was a visual. It's called a visual estimation.
60 and a 40, they're kind of guessing.
It was. They said it was about 60. And I was talking to a couple of police officers, wow, traffic cops, and they said that they have to get rated on that. Like, they can eyeball it. That holds up in court. Eyeballs are generally held. Plus, they can pace you. So once they get out, they can pace your car. And it also, it's not like, even if it's not an exact, if you're like, if it's a 30 or 40 and you're going 60, you could clearly tell that the guy's speeding without a radar. So it holds up. But it doesn't hold up because the public doesn't either. Either they don't know that rule, they don't understand that, or they just think it's BS. Right, because it's an unproved science compared to the radar.
You were talking about the Scottie Scheffler comparison yesterday. This one is not. This one hasn't totally played out the same way as Scheffler, right? Like, even though these cops have gotten criticized or have been, this one isn't even to the level of the way the cops were with Scheffler, right?
Well, no.
Where everybody had discounted the cops.
You're,
I feel like,
that
24
this one's
hours
worse.
Later. No, I feel like 24 hours later, everybody had said the cops were wrong, like, definitively. Whereas this one feels more split.
Well.
To me.
The cop with Scheffler did get punished.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, almost instantly people said that cop's wrong. And he had that statement about, I tore my pants and those are expensive pants. And
Tyreek went on CNN and he told them the reason he didn't roll down his window was because he didn't want to create a stir, that people would have noticed him and
they noticed him,
would have taken pictures and said, that's Tyreek Hill. I'm not buying that. He also said the reason he didn't sit down on the sidewalk is because of his injuries. He's a football player, surgery. You're on your way to play and you scored an 80-yard touchdown. You're the fastest guy in the National Football League. Was there any commentary yesterday, a reaction where you had an aha moment or you thought it was, very insightful or giving a take? I'm judging by your faces. The answer is no.
I didn't see anything insightful. Yeah. I saw some stuff that made me say that person's an idiot and I'm unfollowing them. So
okay.
I don't have one of those.
I get what you're saying. Stephen A, I do have to give Stephen A credit. I know a lot of black people will call him a sellout. You're going on Fox News or you're with this and you're with that.
I think he shoots it pretty straight.
Yeah, I've always given him and Wilbon credit for, like, calling it like they see it. He brought up, I thought, an intriguing question saying, Tyreek, you're saying, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? I'm looking at it the other way. What if you weren't Tyreek Hill? The way you acted could have been much, much worse, but they realized who you were. Think about it the other way, as he was saying, look, man, Shannon Sharpe and Dominique Foxworth were more blaming the police, and Stephen A. was saying, yes, overreaction, way too much, which I do think the way they yanked him out of the car was too much, but Stephen A.'s like, you didn't do it. You didn't act the way you said in terms of keeping your hands on the wheel and putting the window down and keeping it down. And he said, just do that. Do that instead. So that was the world's reaction yesterday that I saw to the Tyreek Hill situation. What is Deion Sanders saying about the song accusation? We got a little college football kegger during the hump day edition of Sean and RJ. It continues with the 6 a.m. club.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Man, I am so excited for this weekend in college football. I don't really know what to think about the current state of the college football playoff. I haven't placed my bets yet. I haven't done any of that. But we do have more Deion Sanders situations. So remember yesterday we talked about, or maybe it was the day before, we talked about Deion and the band playing Shador's song instead of playing the college fight song that Colorado has. Well, there have been some developments here on this. Deion had a press conference yesterday, a normal press conference that you would have on a Tuesday as a what?
A normal Deion press conference.
Yeah, right. There's really nothing normal about Deion. So he has a normal press conference on Tuesday, and he starts it by going right in on this report from the Fan in Denver. So the Fan in Denver is the one that broke this story about Deion saying, don't play that song. Play this first, and then you can play it. Colorado put a statement out and said, it's not Deion that said this. There's a little bit of confusion there that Deion did not do this. They are still playing the song, but they're going to play a snippet like 15 seconds or less of Shador's song, and they're also going to do one for the kicker after he makes a point because I guess he has a song as well. I mean, everybody's got a song.
What a label.
I know, right? Deion, though, started off his press conference and just went right into it.
Well, let me start out with the main thing. Whoever reported that I told the band not to play the fight song, that's idiotic. Y'all know that. Like, when you saw that, you know that was a lie. We got to start having some kind of accountability to this. I understand that this is a free and an open world that everybody is not a journalist, everybody's not an analyst, everybody's really hadn't put in a lot of work to do what you all do. I'm thankful for many of y'all that take your job and your craft serious, and consequently, you get facts before you run with false narratives.
Okay.
Wow. How shocking for me to think that Deion Sanders, who has a film crew following his son, different music productions taking place, NIL deals, all that. Okay, good for you and your family. Sunglasses. It's just shocking that you would tell the band to play your son's song. I 1,000,000% believe it. And now you want to tap the journalists on the back who are in there after, in the free speech world that you just talked about, you ban one of them and limited their speech, asking you questions in your press conferences.
Yeah, it. I mean, look, he did sound a little bit believable there, like that it wasn't him. I'll give him that. He did sound believable. And if it didn't do it, then the guy who wrote the story, needs to retract that. So, but you're right. It's funny because he did tap the journalist on the back there.
Yeah.
Then in the second part, he kind of threatened him.
I just would challenge you to be more responsible with your reporting. And I never wanted to get personal. So when it gets personal, you got to really think about that. You got to understand I have a huge platform. I could really get personal if I wanted to. But I choose not to do that because that's not right. Some things in life is just not right. And I don't want to go there, and I won't go there. But think about it. Just my family alone, the platform is enormous. If we really wanted to go there, we could go there. But we would never do that. We weren't raised like that. We weren't brought up like that. We brought up to love that neighbor as much as we can.
As much as we can. I don't think that's the Bible verse. Love thy neighbor as much as you can.
What a gross misjudgment I had on that. I thought that this new school, cool way of doing things would just have everyone running on over to Colorado, and he could just win with his swag factor, but he too much of a clown. He really is. I should have remembered my days one-on-one with him doing the show here at the Fan. Should have just remembered all the different Dion incidents. Mike Bassick, I think, is a billion percent correct. He's in this while his kids are there, and then he is gone.
Yeah.
And it may not even come from his own choosing.
Yeah, I really don't think Colorado's going to fire him. They're getting so much publicity. I mean, I'm sure their NIL is just through the roof. Now, it's not showing up on the field. But I do think, you know, when his kids are out of there, which I get is probably most likely going to be this year. I mean, it will be.
Yeah.
Then he'll probably move on too. That's just the reality of it. Speaking of his child, Shador, I need to stick up for him because I thought this was completely unfair. What people on social media and a couple outlets did yesterday, I guess it was the day before, he posts a tweet, "New week, let's work." Now, they got run off the field by Nebraska. They were down 28-0. They lose 28-10. He threw a pick six. He writes, "New week, let's work," on Twitter. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That sounds like something that a lot of quarterbacks or people would say that are on the social media. New week, let's work.
Yeah.
And he is getting called out for being a little tone deaf. People are responding. So they're just...
These jokes were funny.
Yeah, these jokes are funny, but like, just finish the sentence. New week, let's work. And somebody goes, "On not getting embarrassed. On taking ownership of your actions. Let's work on what? Win a blanking football game.
Yeah.
Work on personal accountability. Let's leave the game early and blame everyone else instead of taking any accountability for the loss. Nepo baby. Work on this." And it's somebody showing up the watch, one of his watches.
Yeah.
By the way, he is not the Nepo baby. There are Nepo you could say Shiloh maybe is.
Shiloh.
Shador is not.
No, he's a good player. He's a tremendous player. I thought this was totally unfair. Shador did nothing wrong with that tweet. That's a move on, positive, all that BS that athletes do.
It's Belichick. On to Buffalo.
On to Buffalo. Yeah.
That's just wanting to pick on them.
Absolutely.
That's all that is. That's Bro Bible with that headline. And I like Bro Bible, but that's just not accurate.
Absolutely.
One more thing about Colorado. I got to play this Colt McCoy clip.
Oh, gosh.
This is Colt calling the Nebraska game?
Yeah, so Colt was on he was on the call.
So bad.
He needs a thesaurus. Okay? Because, like, and they piece this together. This is him explaining, doing, you know, analyzing a bunch of different plays.
Yeah, watch number 24 right here. And then I want you to watch Nash Hutmaker. And here, I want you to watch number 44. I just want you to watch number 42, Mekhi Bayer. Yeah, watch these linebackers. Yeah. Watch 92 right here, Anquan Barnes. I just want you to watch the push of this whole unit right here.
Want you to watch.
I want you to watch.
It's like they need these, he's, the Bobby Bell.
He's
the Bobby.
So boring.
They need the Bobby Bell in there.
Yeah, he's a little boring.
He's worse than Brady.
Well, ooh. I mean.
I think so. You don't?
Yeah, his voice isn't powerful either.
I haven't really listened. I haven't paid attention or really studied either, him enough on a game that he's on. He'd be like, all right, let me hear what Colt McCoy's saying. By the way, Alabama at Wisconsin, 11 o'clock this Saturday. On the Fan, Bama at Wisconsin, and I do need to announce I have booked my first ever college football trip. Sorry, Jared Sandler. Every year I get the invite for the guys' trip. I have not been able to go, but yesterday I decided I could not wait. I should have waited for the mighty Texas Longhorns to go to Nashville, but I could not wait. I'm going to Bama versus Vanderbilt.
That's the smart way to go. That is the smart way to go. It'll be a home game for Bama. I mean, you'll be in literally. You might as well just be in Tuscaloosa.
Well, if they beat Missouri, this week, the number 6 team, it could be a Nashville takeover.
Could be. You never know. But that'll be fun. It's closer. It's what week is it?
October 6th. It's when the Cowboys face the Steelers Sunday night. I think October 4th through the 6th weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Is Matt Pittman going?
Good question. I'm not sure. Hopefully keep him away from any team I'm rooting for after he screwed SMU against BYU.
Oh, they benched Preston Stone yesterday, the Parish Episcopal kid. Kevin Jennings is starting
now. I mean, that's very surprising because he was a hot commodity.
He was a big recruit.
Absolutely. One more thing real quick here. let's go to Purdue. Purdue student had this, they did this contest on the field. And you had a chance to win a 2-year lease for a vehicle. It's called the Kick for Cash. So you kick a 20-yard field goal or a 30-yard field goal, right? If you could hit both of them. And then you got the promise of a 2-year lease if you're able to drill one from 40. So you got to, gradually go back. And there's a time limit on this.
If I make 3 kicks, it better be you're giving me a car, not just a lease.
So he got $250 gift cards after hitting the 20-yarder and the 30-yarder, but only had the chance to attempt 1 kick from the final distance as the clock was winding down, right? So it's like one of those shooting things, right?
Yeah.
So he gets back to the 40-yard line, and he kicks it, and he makes it. But the insurance company goes back and looks at the detail of the video and says that his left foot, the kick left his foot 1/2 of a second too late. Which the sponsor, so the insurance company, used to justify the decision to say you will not be getting the leased vehicle after all. So this Honda dealership donated $15 million to the Purdue University Athletic Department in 2019, right? And they had the field named after them.
Oh.
So they've got some cash. They easily could have just said, hey, half a second, we're going to step in, give you the lease. They didn't. So another car dealership steps in and says, we got you covered, 2-year lease on a Chevy.
It's a good opportunity. That's smart from whatever that other dealership is. It's like, we'll get free advertising off of everything they've spent because we're actually going to step in and do the Jazz ran into this. They had a 3-point shooting contest where somebody released the ball late and they got crushed for like, dude, that's such a small technicality. And they tried to wave it off.
College Football Kegger with Ralph James Choppy, Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ coming at you here on DFW Sports Station. Whatever you do from now on as a Tolo, do not ever refer to any of us by our last names again. Don't ever do it. That's the number one rule on the show. We'll explain why with the audio right after this.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.